And the Academy Award for Best Picture.
You're impossible. Come on. La La Land.
I'm sorry. No. There's a mistake. Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
Moonlight won.
Come on, this is not a joke.
This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Welcome to a very special edition of Podcasts for Good. We haven't done one of these in a while. This is a Podcast for Good CFD After Dark edition.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which is funny because we're actually recording it in the middle of the day at 11:30.
And it's snowing, so it's extra bright.
Right. So my name is Philip Kerrigan. I'm the program manager of the Washington State Combined Fund Drive, and my co-host, as always, is
Heather Lucas. I'm the fiscal and policy coordinator for the Combined Fund Drive.
And we are joined for the very first time by a very special guest. You're going to have to give your title, David, because I can't remember it. David Elliott.
David Elliott. They call me the policy director.
The policy director.
So I have one of those chairs, you know, in a bullhorn thing and hat.
Ah, yes. Do you have the poofy pants?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
We call those jodhpurs.
There you go.
So people who have actually listened to this podcast before may have actually heard us kind of go over this sort of stuff before. We did a Halloween movie podcast.
Yeah.
And so this time we're going to do an Academy Awards edition podcast because the award show is right around the corner. And one of the reasons why we asked David to come on is because we find ourselves, whenever David comes back to our area, we find ourselves every once in a while talking movies. So we figured he's a movie nerd, we're movie nerds, so we're going to talk a little bit about it. We are, full disclosure, I don't know, David, how many of this year's Academy Award nominees have you seen?
Not as many as I'd like. It's been quite a session.
Yeah. And I have to say, the problem with the awards now is that they nominate all these independent films that they won't show until, like, in a regular city.
Yeah.
Until, like, 2 weeks before the Oscars.
Well, there's, what, 10 movies?
Yeah.
And we live in a regular city.
Right. Right. So we don't get those until like 2 weeks before, so you got to cram. So we are not going to talk about this year's nominees.
Yeah.
Instead, we're going to take a classic view of the awards. And what I think will be fun about this one is it'll showcase each person's favorite time span of like movie watching. So you'll see my wheelhouse will be mid to late 90s, usually involving Ben Affleck or Matt Damon for some reason.
or Kevin Smith.
Yeah, exactly. So you'll see those, and we'll talk a little bit about that. I also have a set of categories that I'm going to hit both of you with, and a few of the nominees within that category, or you can choose one of my nominees, you can go off the board. All right, sound good?
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, here we go. So first off, our very first category is Best Performance by an Oscar Host. Let me give you some of the nominees. So we're going to go, right? This actually works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So we're going to go.
Are you top five style in it, too?
I did not go top five. I just hodgepodge through what you know.
Okay.
So Bob Hope was always a classic.
Sure.
Billy Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Martin. Whoopi Goldberg. Neil Patrick Harris.
Okay.
He was a sneaky good one. Ellen DeGeneres. Everybody seemed to love hers. And Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay.
So these are the nominees that I kind of found. What is your best performance by an Oscar host?
Full disclosure, I don't watch for the host.
Okay. Well, nobody does.
Yeah. So, like, I don't care
too much. They're supposed to
much.
Lead you from, like, point A to point B.
Sure.
But they're supposed to do it in an entertaining way.
Sure. So I think that the hosts that are nice and pleasant, mm-hmm. like, I could care less.
Okay.
I like it when hosts say things that are controversial.
So like
or
Chris Rock.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed Seth Meyers.
Okay.
I did enjoy Seth MacFarlane.
Uh-huh.
I feel like, I don't remember if it was the Oscars, but Ricky Gervais hosted a show like
this. Oh, he has the Golden Globes.
Golden Globes. So
basically every year. They just ask him back.
And he surprisingly comes back and people don't firebomb his house, you know? That kind of thing. But
Seems like
I mean, he's, you know, not entirely nice.
So
but I do like the controversial.
So you would
kinda
say like Chris Rock is up there.
Yeah.
Is in your top. See, I was gonna say sometimes my favorites are always the ones that like go down in flames, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Right? Because I always liked Jon Stewart because he felt like an outsider coming into L.A. And Chris Rock just, if you have a chance, you watch that
monologue.
He destroys the auditorium.
I read up on it, too.
And everyone's asked back.
Yeah, like, he apparently had a team of 17 writers, and they went over multiple times, like, the monologues, the kind of pithy dialogue he'd have in between, and they honed it down and perfected it. But somebody had said, like, yeah, we never heard the full speech that he intended to give, but we had faith that he would do just wonderfully. And he did what he did.
I mean, I thought he did okay. How about you?
I had come in here prepared to say Billy Crystal because he was funny. But then you reminded me of Ellen DeGeneres, Chris Rock, Seth Meyers. They were all amazing.
Yeah.
I want to little shout out to David Letterman because he's
a
favorite of mine. And I maybe you can explain it to me. When he did the Oprah Uma Uma Oprah thing, everybody said, oh, that's it. He'll never work in this town again. I never understood why people were so bugged.
I know. I thought the same thing.
It was just a
thing.
Joke that fell flat. You know?
And it wouldn't have been the first joke you ever told that fell flat.
No,
or the last. So.
And sometimes I think Letterman was better, is better. He's still doing it. When it falls flat, he
kind of like picks it up.
Yeah,
he plays on it. He plays on
where does he go from there?
That's fun.
But I'm recalling, you're correct about Chris Rock. He blew the place away and said some things that were uncomfortable. And that's all right.
Those kinds of things always make me laugh and clap like a maniac.
Yeah. Yep, me too. And my recollection is that Ellen DeGeneres did some unique things.
Mm-hmm. Going out in the crowd thing with the selfie, I thought was really cool.
And,
you know, just really owned the place.
Yeah.
And she was so comfortable.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, she's your pal, you know.
Yeah.
And so I would, either of those two would be fine.
We can all agree, we don't like the actors doing it. The Hugh Jackman,
That's
Franco.
Weird. It's super weird.
Yeah, right.
It also makes it seem like, well, you're hosting because you didn't do any good movies that got nominated. Like, you failed doing your job.
And I don't know why they went in that direction.
Yeah, or I don't remember if it was the Oscars or the Golden Globes, but the year that they had, I think it was like Glenn Close and Donald Sutherland backstage, and they were doing the welcome to the 69th Oscars or whatever it was. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was like you're watching Miss America. You know,
exactly.
That person would take you in and out of the commercials.
Yeah,
it was very weird.
That's weird. I'm not a fan of that.
No.
Okay. So
So what's your choice?
Well, for me, I would probably I really like I went off the board a little bit too. I thought Jon Stewart was pretty good.
Yeah.
Because I think he's funny.
Yeah.
But I really did actually like I thought Neil Patrick Harris was pretty good.
Yeah.
Because I think that he has got he really has got like a bounce in his step, which I find pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then I actually kind of dig Jimmy Kimmel, even though I wonder how. So the thing is that it's okay for Oscars to be a little political. It's too much when it's over the top. So I wonder how much he'll add in that, because he has really turned into a political animal.
Is he the guy this year?
He's the host this year. Yeah. And I thought he gets points for rolling with Moonlight.
Yeah.
Over
La La Land.
That was amazing. Because a lot of hosts probably would have gotten blamed for that. But he did a really good job like doing that. So I liked him. But I would probably go with Jon Stewart. Because I also have a soft spot for him. I love The Daily Show.
A little piece of your heart belongs to Jon Stewart.
Yeah. Yeah, and Chris Rock was great. Totally underrated.
Yeah.
And the only reason he never got asked back was because he made people uncomfortable. But that's kind of Chris Ross's shtick. You knew that was going in, that he was going to do something that was going to make people
feel
weird.
Yeah, he's not going to conform to this weird little box.
Yeah. Well, and making people in Hollywood uncomfortable, that's great.
It's okay.
Yeah.
They pretty much got
a
pretty good situation.
Yeah, they're okay.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. Next topic. Best Oscar victory speech. Let me give you a couple of nominees.
Mm-hmm.
You Really Like Me by Sally Field. This Moment is Bigger Than Me by Halle Berry. My Hero is Myself in 10 Years by Matthew McConaughey. There was no line that he said, but Tom Hanks' speech from Philadelphia, because you remember he had told this very very touching story about somebody he knew that was gay and was not able to come out and had eventually died of AIDS. And then Robin Williams is The One Time I'm Speechless from Good Will Hunting. So, are any of these your favorites, or are you taking one off the board?
So, I love that the Tom Hanks speech, he accidentally outed one of the two people he talked about,
right?
And then that got made into a movie.
There was a whole movie about that.
Yeah, like Kevin Klein was in it. Okay. Yeah. So I loved that. I did love the "It's bigger. This moment is bigger than me" by Halle Berry, but like, she's been asked about that, and since like up to the point where she was asked, there had been no other women of color who won Best Actress, so she was like, "I guess it wasn't bigger than me." Like, that's really sad.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
So it's like 15 years on, and she's just like, "I don't know what happened."
Wow.
I loved Lupita Nyong'o.
Yes.
She was like,
she was really
very heartfelt, very touching. But
great performance, but that movie was amazing.
You didn't love Roberto Benigni walking around?
I did. So
that, yes, that was that was.
I did love that one.
That was joyous.
Although we're going to talk about it later, I have massive issues with that whole thing.
I'm with you,
but I did love his speech.
Yeah, I like it when people are either just like, "I did this so anybody can do this," or they're like freakishly overjoyed. So like Roberto Benigni.
Adrian Brody. Crazy kiss with Halle Berry.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And she just was like wiping her face, just shocked. Like, I don't know what just happened to me.
What is the matter with you? That does not play well. It did not...
not in this culture today.
Doesn't work on that one kind.
No. And I'm going to go heterosexual life mate Ben Affleck.
Yes.
He and his heterosexual life mate Matt Damon.
They did have
an adorable speech.
I didn't want to put it on here because I didn't want you to think I was just going to nerd out the whole time.
About Ben Affleck.
About Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
That's okay.
Yes, they were great.
You can nerd out all you like. You love the guy, so you should nerd out about him.
I said one word for that.
Yes.
Geely.
Yeah, nice. That was an awful movie. Let's not pretend here.
Yeah.
He made some like
Reindeer Games.
Yeah,
oh.
He made some god awful movies.
Stinker.
Yeah. So Mr. Elliott, what are we going with? What's your favorite one?
Well,
that you can recall.
I remember watching the Sally Field thing live and just being like, oh my gosh, she is blowing up on national television,
shaking like a chihuahua.
Well, and she, I know what she meant.
Yeah.
But boy, it did not come off that.
Right, it's really an infamous moment.
You know, and it is. That's right. It's infamous for not good reasons. I think the Tom Hanks thing with Philadelphia, that whole movie was just an amazing thing for me. You know, and shout out to Bruce Springsteen for
great
for
song.
Winning
probably his last
Streets of Philadelphia.
Amazing song.
Yeah, and it really is an amazing song. That's right.
And the Oscar goes to Tom Hanks in Philadelphia.
I would not be standing here if it weren't for two very important men in my life. But I had the pleasure of just the other evening, Mr. Raleigh Farnsworth, who was my high school drama teacher, who taught me that act well the part, there all the glory lies. And one of my classmates under Mr. Farnsworth, Mr. John Gilkerson. I mention their names because they are two of the finest gay Americans, two wonderful men that I had the good fortune to be associated with. I wish my babies could have the same sort of teacher, the same sort of friends.
And it was one of those moments that shows you what movies can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go with that one.
That's
awesome.
Yeah,
like that's a bigger than me, bigger than you
moment. I thought that was really cool.
I also just love anything Robin Williams ever did. But that doesn't mean his speech rises to
I thought Hanks's speech had real weight to it because it was pretty important.
Yes,
and the times that
it was one of those moments where
that was mid 90s.
Yeah,
it was 93.
Every so often there's a moment like that, and you know Oprah's recent speech,
it's Golden Globes,
where a person who's famous delivers something so amazing, that you're just surprised that they have that in them.
Yeah.
And it's not to say they're not wonderful people, but actors are good at what they do, but somebody else writes their lines.
Right.
But here he was saying these things that needed saying.
Yeah. My favorite part about... So one of my favorite parts about the Oscars is you always know... So how many times during the show do they cut the poor, like, makeup guy
off
the stage? They play him right off.
Stop that.
But they get to the actress, and they're like, you can go as long as you'd like. Because they know that she half of her performance in the movie is going to be how her Oscar speech was.
Julia Roberts. Remember her speech,
Mm-hmm. So I probably would go with Tom Hanks from Philadelphia. And then I would do a nice little sort of man crush shout out to Ben Affleck.
Oh, there he goes.
because they did the speech the way I would do the speech. Get up there and act like a couple of idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be totally shell-shocked.
I love that it's not just Man Crush Monday for you. It's Man Crush every day.
Every day for those two, yeah. Okay, so here's a good one. I dig this category. So here is the award for best actor. So you got to take all sort of the really awesome best actor performances that you remember seeing, and we boil them down to the best one.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you some, and I tried to go in some chronological order here, but forgive me if I went out of order. So Gene Hackman from The French Connection,
mm-hmm.
Marlon Brando from On the Waterfront,
yeah.
Paul Newman from The Color of Money, George C. Scott from Patton, Ben Kingsley from Gandhi, Dustin Hoffman from Kramer vs. Kramer, which I thought was super underrated. Robert De Niro from Raging Bull, which might be overrated now.
Yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis, My Left Foot. Tom Hanks, Philadelphia. Denzel Washington, Training Day. And that's what I've got for the best actors. Plenty of room to go off the board here.
Sure.
So, go ahead.
So, I'm just going to go slightly off the board and be like, Elizabeth Taylor, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, okay?
Oh!
I know that's actress, but
whoa, okay,
my goodness.
Okay, absolutely.
She was amazing in that. But
we're an open show here.
Yeah, we are.
Yes.
Denzel Washington got shafted, so we'll talk
Which
about
one?
That later.
Oh, big
he
stuff.
He should
okay,
not
okay.
have gotten
let's,
Training Day.
Let's not get, okay? let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I think that the best actor...
Mm-hmm.
I always find that... Like, I'm looking at the categories, and I'm like, I feel kind of like somebody else should have been picked.
Okay.
Very rarely am I like, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah.
Like, I really liked, one of the biggest ones was, do you remember Adrian Brody won for The Pianist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was Daniel Day-Lewis from Gangs of New York
yeah.
he was going up against.
Yes.
And, I mean...
Yeah.
Come on. Well, that, which one has through the test of time... Last
sure.
stood up
of Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York.
But
yeah.
also, like, I kind of feel that if you are nominated,
mm-hmm.
if you play a real person, that's a shoo-in. You win.
Yeah, and also if you do that thing where you get real ugly or real fat
mm-hmm.
or real skinny.
Yeah.
One of those, you have to physically change yourself.
Yes, there's exactly.
Yeah.
So I had written a list.
Okay,
I
let's hear your list.
I'm not going to read the whole
like
thing.
Lists.
I want to touch on the ones that you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hanks. I think you did mention Nicholson, Newman, Warren Beatty. You want to talk man crush?
Mm-hmm.
That's your man crush?
That's yours?
Well, his performance in Heaven Can Wait, and maybe
yeah.
It came out at a time in my life I'd lost an uncle, and
yeah.
there was something about that movie, and it
yeah.
sticks with me to this day.
That's awesome.
Pacino, and then Spencer Tracy was
nice.
Frequently.
Yeah.
And but I watched Captain's Courageous the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not politically correct performance.
Right.
He's portraying a Latino person. And
wow.
I think he was wearing makeup to make him look
wow.
more that way.
Yeah.
And
those don't play at
won,
all now.
He won, no.
Nope.
And he won Best Actor for that role.
Wow.
But, you know, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a tough one. So I would probably say Daniel Day-Lewis. I think
mm-hmm.
between his performance in My Left Foot, Lincoln.
I thought he was amazing in Lincoln.
Gangs of New York, which you mentioned, and then also Last of the Mohicans.
Yes.
He can
also
play
great.
Such a broad range.
I know.
He
He's
can.
Really amazing.
What was crazy about Lincoln was, so, I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever, but, I mean, we've never heard his voice. I mean, I've never
Lincoln's
heard his
voice.
Lincoln's
you think
voice.
You have
yeah.
now, though.
Right. But
yeah.
when I'm watching him, I'm thinking, yeah, this feels like what Lincoln would
yeah.
be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this seems like, of course he sounds like this.
Yeah.
We're stepped out upon the world stage now. Now! With the fate of human dignity in our hands. Blood's been spilled to afford us this moment. Now! Now! Now!
Why wouldn't he?
Why wouldn't he sound
yeah.
like this? I mean, it was almost like he invented, like... What we like, he
mm-hmm.
made Abraham Lincoln not just a picture,
yeah.
Right? He was like,
yep.
he walked the way he walked, and the way he,
mm-hmm.
yep.
I remember watching that and being like, I don't know if he'll win because this is a big old movie,
mm-hmm.
and the Academy Awards seem to be allergic to those now.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember thinking he should, and I remember it was about two thirds of the way in, where I was like, I don't even know if I'm watching. Like, I found myself being like, I'm watching Daniel Day-Lewis. Like,
sure.
Like, I'm not watching Abraham Lincoln.
Well, for that movie, I kind of felt like, I don't know, maybe the first couple minutes, I was like, best director, best picture, best actor, it'll happen.
Because it wasn't the best picture.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, Spielberg wasn't the best director that year.
Right.
For sure. And that was one of those where they got right. They picked the thing from that movie that was really good.
Yeah. Instead of just giving it to who had been
Because the plot is kind of oddly convoluted. You're not quite, I don't know, I watched it a second time and I finally followed some of it.
Sure.
But he's amazing.
Have you read Doris Kearns Goodwin?
Team Arrivals?
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it was based on the book.
Yeah.
And so that did lead to a convoluted plot.
Yeah.
Because I think it's trying to show it too much. It has the ultimate spoiler. Mm-hmm. It's hard to decide you're going to sit down and watch a movie where you know how it ends.
Yeah.
They're going to make you love this character.
And he's going to die.
And he's going to die.
Yeah. And that is hard. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think they took that really big book that had a bunch in it, and he tried to shove it all into the movie.
Yeah.
So the movie did not deserve Best Picture.
Yeah.
But as you watched some of the other like nominees, you were like, oh man, yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis. And I think sometimes there's this also thing that happens, like, I'm gonna drop his name because we do it all the time. Michael Jordan.
Oh.
I found a way in the podcast.
Whatever.
I think like that's that Jordan syndrome. Like they couldn't give Michael Jordan the MVP every year.
So they had to come up with Karl Malone and Charles Barkley. Karl Malone sucks.
Do you remember? Oh, don't.
Really? Are you a Karl Malone, John Stockton guy?
I think we're starting a whole new podcast.
I'm an Ostertag guy. And they were his coworkers. Anyway, back to...
But not Malone and Stockton.
back to people who took their names out. I remember when Oprah said, stop giving me best daytime Grammy, or not Grammy, Emmy.
Emmy.
She said... she got
I already
year
won.
After year after year. She said, let's give somebody else a chance to stop nominating me.
Yeah. Right, and I think that was, I was afraid that was going to happen.
With Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah, because they were like, well, he's already won two. I mean, can he win a third one?
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, who else would do it?
But the problem if you're that good,
you're that good.
Yeah, you're that good.
You know? Okay, so this is one of my favorite categories, aside from biggest Oscar snub, because I love that one. But this, the most rewatchable Best Picture. So the one you will literally, if you're doing something in the house, maybe you're cleaning or whatever, you'll stop and you'll be like, ooh, I can watch 5 minutes of this. I'll watch until the next commercial break.
Yeah.
So here are the nominees that I have. So The Godfather. The Godfather Part Two. Rocky. Rain Man. Braveheart. Titanic. The Departed. Or Argo.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, of course, The Godfather and The Departed.
I want you to rest well, and a month from now, this Hollywood big shot's going to give you what you want.
It's too late. They start shooting in a week.
I'm going to make them an offer he can't refuse.
You can watch those every time.
Every time. But I also would add, I know you don't like it, but Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it's okay. Look at one. What can I do?
Sure, sure. And, you know, like, it's one of those things that, for my family, is very much a Christmas thing.
Yeah.
So, like...
So you will watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And it's definitely, like, a nostalgic thing.
Are you going TV, or are you going DVD Blu-ray?
I really don't put anything on, so, like, DVD Blu-ray.
So you go TNT.
Yeah, I mean, well, when it's on, TNT. It's just on.
Okay.
So it's the same thing for The Godfather and for The Departed.
I feel like what I like about... A good rewatchable. So the reason why this category exists is because I listened to a podcast that talks all about rewatchable movies. And shout out to Bill Simmons, who will definitely never listen to this podcast. but one of the things that they talk about is how, like, the commercials are a part of the experience with your rewatchable, right? And so you'll literally stick through the commercials.
To keep
watching. So you can get to the part that you really love. And so that's kind of... I always think of, like, the... So my wife is the same way with Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
She'll stick. She'll watch. Yep. Like, she'll watch an hour and a half of it, like, just sitting there when she was even doing something.
Well, yeah, and those movies, they extend them so long. So there's, like, a three-hour block.
For real.
3.5, 4 hours. Yeah. And you're like, come on.
I didn't know that TNT had that much time to kill.
Right?
And they were like, 4 hours. Let's throw a Lord of the Rings in there.
We got nothing to do on Sunday. Yeah.
So how about you?
It's going to take me a minute to recover.
Yeah.
Well, I have you mentioned that you were
a couple. I want to hear your list, because I saw a list
90s, over here. Yeah, 90s guy. So yeah. Apparently I'm a 70s guy.
That's great.
So Patton, if Patton is on, I'll just sit down.
Yeah. Love that movie.
And I'll start doing lines.
Really? Oh, yeah. That's fantastic.
There's a scene where there's two, and I've never figured out why this would happen, but there are two columns of tanks that are crossing in a mud bog.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he jumps up on one of them and starts directing traffic. And
yeah.
I just think that's an amazing scene, but I can't figure out why you would have the two columns of tanks crossing. I just
cinematic purposes.
Yeah,
yes.
All right. The Godfather movies.
Absolutely.
The Sting.
You can't. Oh, the Sting.
I just love that movie. It's so intricate. And you come
really
in
good.
And you're like, oh, what part are we in here? Is it, you know, Robert Redford a good guy yet? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And All the President's Men.
Oh,
nice.
That's a movie. And actually, it didn't win Best Picture because it lost.
Are you previewing a snub here?
To Rocky.
That's why we had the reaction from Australia.
And to me, All the President's Men may be one of the greatest movies ever made.
All the President's Men is an amazing movie.
Yes, and Rocky, you know,
not as amazing. Do you think Rocky is sullied by the fact that they made 412 sequels?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
although
help.
One of the great lines of all time, I think, is Rocky V, where Drago says, "I must break you."
Yes. Yeah. Oh, fabulous. Yeah. Fabulous. But I mean, it got cartoonish. And I will say, have you seen the movie Creed?
Yes.
See, now I felt like that brought it back. But what you needed was somebody to refocus it, because then it
also
got too cartoon.
Like that, at that point, what are we, Rocky 8?
Oh, no. This is Rocky. Yeah, that was Rocky 7.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Creed is officially like Rocky 7.
Yeah, and I feel like
they're coming out with Creed 2, by the way.
Rocky 2.
Yeah.
Like reboot Rocky?
Reboot Rocky.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. That's a good point. All the President's Men is an amazing movie.
It is, and I've read the book 3 or 4 times. I'm older than the two of you, so they wheeled the television into, I know, the old format too, 4:3. Into our sixth grade class.
Yeah. We had those TVs too.
Did you?
Oh yeah.
Yes, we did.
Those were the best days.
Let's hear it for school funding. Anyway,
they still roll those in.
So and we watched the hearings, and we watched.
Wow,
and, yeah,
really?
We did.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I don't know sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing story.
Yes.
But I don't know if the drama of it is greater than the story, given what we've lived through the last 40 years. Iran-Contra, this kind of stuff.
Right. That's a movie. I'm surprised it never got made.
Maybe like a Hallmark made for TV.
I mean, maybe
the Life of Oliver North.
Where they focus, they focus on Fawn Hall as the central story.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I have to say, one of the things that I like about All the President's Men is you hit on it with Lincoln. So you know how the ends. It's a spoiler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, spoiler alert.
Right? I mean, they publish what they find, and it blows the lid off everything.
Yep.
That's where the movie ends. And so it's kind of cool, because especially if you're watching it from 30 years afterwards or whatever, like, you have the full context of, like, now the paper landed. And we know everything that happens since then.
Yeah.
That was really cool. There's also a lot of silence in that movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
That I think is really amazing.
Silence is, like, so underrated now.
It's totally
underrated.
You gotta
fill every single moment.
I mean, guys who are doing... Yeah, exactly. Like today, if that movie were made, it would have Bradley Cooper and... name another guy. Short guy.
A short guy? Zach Galifianakis?
There you go. They're rebooting The Hangover.
Joe Pesci.
So today,
it turns out Bernstein has a side job. He's a stand-up.
Yeah.
He plays piano.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So what you'd have Bradley Cooper going through things, uh-huh. and there'd be that undercurrent of music that they always play.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff. But they didn't do that at all in that movie.
No.
And because these two guys are so good at what they do, Hoffman and Redford,
mm-hmm.
you didn't need any of them.
No.
I thought it was really cool.
Well, It really showed that the value of the press, that mm-hmm. This would have gone unnoticed,
yeah,
if they hadn't fall.
Yeah, and I think the post you see, the one that's this year, is mm-hmm. a reboot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not done as well. No. I mean, all the President's Men is
exactly.
It's yeah. like top
notch. Yeah, I was thinking that there's a category that we could do if we do this again next year is mm-hmm. remakes that didn't need to
yes.
be made. You know, yeah. there's a movie called
I Have a List.
Yeah, exactly. All the King's Men was
yes. With Sean
one.
Penn was the remake.
Yes, but 1949 with Broderick Crawford. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing movie if you mm-hmm. get it on Netflix or something
yeah.
like that. It did not need to be remade, and it's been remade several times.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
I know, because the story itself is pretty cool, isn't it? It's based on Huey Long.
Yes.
Yeah.
The yep. corrupt governor down in Louisiana.
Yes, that's correct.
And Sean Penn just... I like Sean Penn as an actor, but he just missed it mm-hmm. on that one.
Yeah.
All right, so this is my favorite category.
Oh, yeah?
I have so many opinions, as I'm sure you do.
Yes.
Biggest Oscar snub.
Okay.
Go.
All right.
You can name as many as you'd like.
I have a list.
Oh, I knew it.
Okay, so clearly my wheelhouse is also the 90s.
Okay.
Ralph Fiennes for Schindler's List.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was nominated and like...
Who won?
94. So it was... I can't read my writing.
But Ralph Fiennes should have won.
Yes.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Tommy Lee Jones, The Fugitive. Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh,
one,
wow.
Which is kind of a good crime movie.
It's a good crime movie.
It's not a movie that elevates.
Yeah, that's true. Because there have been people who played that exact same thing.
Exactly.
Although he was Al Gore's roommate in college.
Yeah, so what? That's why he won.
At no. Harvard.
Al Gore controls the whole thing.
Al Gore controls the media.
You look at it.
He invented the internet. Hello.
Yeah. Okay,
so
wow, that is
I say
tough.
Ralph Fiennes
okay.
because it was an amazing movie. It was an amazing performance.
Yeah, he was really great.
And Tommy Lee Jones, I think he's kind of typecast now as that character
yeah.
who's just angry and yelly.
Certainly.
Pulp Fiction got robbed, mm-hmm. I think. Forrest Gump is an epic movie.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah. That was a tough year.
It was a tough year.
That was a tough year. Yeah. You and I had talked about that.
We did.
About those 3 or 4 years right there in the early, mid-90s.
I think the violence of Pulp Fiction
yeah.
probably put some
yeah,
people
I bet.
I think it did. And it was
some
also,
of the words used.
Yeah,
well, that too.
Some of the words, the drug content, the mm-hmm. fact that a movie had never been told that way before.
Yeah.
It felt like Tarantino wrote the whole script and then threw it on the ground.
And then mixed
them all back
yeah.
up again.
Yeah.
But and as you're watching it, you're like, I mean, I remember thinking, this is a mind-blowing piece of film.
Okay. And that's a movie that I'll rewatch.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, but it has to be on HBO.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
also when they edit, that's the thing. That's yeah. one of those where, like, it's not like TNT. It's not like TNT good because when they edit, they take out half the content of the movie.
They do, and sometimes, like, it's funny with some of those swear words how they choose different phrases. Mm-hmm. Cheese and rice, you know.
Oh, I
like,
know. You know.
What?
I know.
So,
I know.
There's this TV show called The Good Place.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
And in the show, they're not allowed to swear.
So they uh-huh. say all
and
these
so they
words
say all these
like
funny
that.
Things like, well, I don't want to. It's a podcast, but it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And it
yeah,
gets
yeah.
you every single time it happens.
Yeah,
they still
awesome.
Get you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
There's a line from The Big Lebowski mm-hmm. that kills me when it's on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Walter Sobchak is yelling at Larry Sellers, the kid,
uh-huh.
and he yells at him, "This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps." Find a stranger in the Alps. Kills
know,
me.
You got to know the network people. Some of them have a sense of humor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
And so then he goes out and busts up a car and was like, that's what happens when you find strangers in the Alps, huh?
It's true.
Okay.
What else? That's a good one.
Yeah.
Two that are really like good, solid, controversial ones. Because
yeah.
I kind of like.
You're welcome.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Here's another controversial one.
Okay.
Denzel Washington, Malcolm X.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He never.
I don't think.
Never.
I don't think that's controversial. He should have won.
He yeah. should have won. Absolutely. He should not have won for
Training
you
said
Day.
About, the thing you said about Lincoln.
Yeah.
When you see Malcolm X in real life.
Right.
On old
uh-huh.
man alive.
You're looking at it. And you're, is that Denzel Washington?
Who is that?
Yeah. You
what
have a moment where you can't
so
tell.
Good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I
but
mean,
see,
like even to the look of him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Spike Lee though. Spike Lee would never ever. I don't think even now. He would be considered as a best director.
No, and
still,
well, so right. So I don't know. I don't know that Spike Lee will ever win best director.
Exactly.
And I think, he should have won best director like 6 times by now.
Yeah.
Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
He Got Game. Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those all by themselves. I really like the World War II movie he did, Miracle in St. Anna.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does really great work.
He does.
And fabulous work. And it's just because he makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's why he's not winning.
Yeah. And he's a controversial guy.
Well, he says a lot of things, and you know, it's funny, he tests Hollywood's
he does.
Sort of like
and they don't
level
like it.
Of
yeah.
Well, he won't play the game.
Yeah.
He won't
yeah.
count out. I mean, if you Crooklyn is a movie I've watched.
Oh, I love that movie.
And there's some things in there that are just incredible. And
yeah.
There's one where it's this little scene, but he's my age, right? Mm-hmm. And so the whole family is fighting over which TV station to
yeah.
watch because that's how it was.
Yeah.
And his character wants to watch the
yeah.
Knicks.
Yeah.
And everybody else wants to watch the Partridge Family.
Uh-huh.
So they click it over, and they're singing I Woke Up in Love This Morning, and all of the kids are uh-huh. singing. And I'm thinking, he's clearly, this is something from his youth.
Yeah.
And he and I clearly have this commonality.
Yeah.
Even though I grew up in
I love
it. Kind of a small town, and he grew up in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so real.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
And that scene, you know, if a guy who can create a scene that's that good
mm-hmm.
deserves to be best.
Absolutely.
Director.
And the only thing he'll get is the Lifetime
Oscar. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
give
absolutely.
Him a Thalberg or
right?
something.
Yeah, yeah. exactly. I got
yeah,
one
Malcolm X.
Malcolm X,
fabulous.
Yeah. It was
go ahead.
Fabulous.
That was, yeah, amazing movie.
So my last one is Citizen Kane. Citizen
oh,
Kane
man.
Didn't win Best Picture.
Did it not win Best Picture?
No.
No.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but Orson Welles was 25.
Oh, wow.
So there was no way they were going to give Orson Welles an Oscar. They were
wow.
not doing that because he was nominated.
He didn't win Best Picture.
No. So
didn't win anything.
It didn't win anything because he was up for Best Actor.
Well, that must have been because he was taking on Hearst.
That's he was
why.
Taking on
that
Hearst
is,
as well.
Exactly.
That was the biggest reason, I think. Right. But Orson Welles being a 25-year-old kid who... To make that movie and then think, you know, with the kind of things he did that hadn't been done before, like ripping out a floor to get a shot, an angled shot.
I
so,
know.
Like, instead of just that kind of standard, this is just
totally
what we
original.
Do. Yeah.
Totally original.
So... the controversy and then his attitude on top of what he had done with War of the Worlds, I think, was just too much.
Yeah.
He's just a kid and he knows everything.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No.
Does anybody think he, like, in that shot from Citizen Kane of him standing there, he looks like something like Seth MacFarlane would redo
yeah.
Citizen Kane
yeah.
in
mm-hmm.
a weird,
mm-hmm.
dumb way?
Uh-huh. Yeah. But, he'd make his own
funny.
Spoof out of it. It'd be
yeah.
funny,
yeah.
yeah.
Exactly.
But he'd
right,
do
he'd
it.
Make it sort of a spoof.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah. Like Citizen Kane, but he's fumbling through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he somehow becomes this kind of, you know, magnate, you
yeah.
know, but no.
Yeah.
yeah.
So those are all good.
That's where I go.
Mr.
Oh, wait.
Elliot?
Oh, I'm
oh,
sorry.
Oh,
I got
oh,
one
oh.
more.
Right.
I apparently am not playing reading well. I mean, I can't read my own writing. Everybody knows it.
Yes, that's correct.
Dances with Wolves winning over Goodfellas.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, I'll be honest. I do like Dance with Wolves.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But
it was
Goodfellas,
too drawn out.
Goodfellas
but
plays better.
Goodfellas
today.
Is one of those that impacted the culture.
Yeah.
It did.
And if it comes on, you'll sit and watch.
Oh,
absolutely,
there is no question
yeah.
that is a rewatchable
like
for sure.
clown
yeah, like
for
a
your
clown?
Amusement.
Yeah.
yeah,
and I in fact like sometimes watching it edited because
yeah.
I want to see
oh, right,
how the editors pull off the
exactly.
trick of every other word being
yeah.
inappropriate.
That was one of those things, though, to me, felt like Kevin Costner was being given the Clint Eastwood Award, like he was being
yeah.
kind of crowned. You're the next Clint Eastwood, so here you go.
Yeah,
and.
There
just
were parts
Scorsese.
Of I will say, mm-hmm. I will say, so for me, that's a really tough one. Because I thought Dances with Wolves, I thought he did a really great job
mm-hmm.
directing it. And I thought that all the actors in it were really good, great, like, cinematography the whole nine.
Yeah.
Especially, you got to remember, this is like 1991.
Yeah.
They don't have that sort of sweeping thing they don't have that the way he did it. But, I mean, yeah, I think now Goodfellas just, it plays better. Everybody
yeah.
in it is A-game, including
mm-hmm.
Scorsese and De Niro and Pesci and even Leota.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, don't forget Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
yeah. So, I'm trying to, you're going to have to help me. I'm
mm-hmm.
trying to remember a movie that Kevin Costner did with...
Waterworld?
Best, big snub there.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm a sailor, and I can tell you that it wasn't even good from that perspective.
Yeah.
No, it's a Western, Open Range.
There you go.
Yeah!
Amazing movie.
Great movie.
That one and the remake of True Grit. And
yes!
And the True Grit, the first one and the True Grit remake are both great movies.
Yes.
And even though they're basically the same movie, they're both great in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
But the remake of that movie He's like super real. You actually think it's not a shoot 'em up western. Mm-hmm. Like
that's the best kind. It's
yeah, I just really you know killed somebody. I mean, Kevin Costner's character clearly feels bad.
Open Range is really good.
It's a good movie.
Yeah,
but that's not we're talking about snubs here. Judgment in Nuremberg.
Amazing
movie from 1961. You know what it lost to? West Side Story.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Wow.
And I'm sorry, I'm not a big fan of musicals.
I am not either.
You know, I wasn't a Chicago guy.
I have a list over here of movies that shouldn't have won it, and Sound of Music, West Side Story, Chicago.
Boy,
Titanic.
They all have a commonality.
Titanic doesn't have singing, but it's, you know.
It's way too much, though.
Yeah.
Titanic.
A small thing, really it's not a snub because it lost to Lawrence of Arabia, but Marlon Brando's version of Mutiny on the Bounty was
very good.
Dr. Zhivago did
that. That's amazing. That's right.
It lost to The Sound of Music, so there you go. I guess there's a theme here. All the President's Men we talked about with Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
Citizen Kane you already touched on. So
that's amazing, by the way.
Yeah, and so if I had to pick one, and I didn't choose actors in this case, I just went with the movies. I would probably say Judgment in Nuremberg because
good movie.
The West Side Story, it's a musical retelling of Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
How many retellings have there been?
Right.
1,000,005. Right.
You know, what's a Valley Girl?
Yeah. You know, there is a real,
which is a better movie, by the way.
There's a real theme there. The Academy seems to love themselves some music.
Yeah.
They love themselves the singing and the dancing.
Which is kind of weird, I think, because...
Yeah. Which is why I was surprised La La Land didn't actually win.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like it was going to the way.
Well, it kind of did. Yeah, I mean...
It kind of did.
It did a little.
Yeah.
Yay.
And, you know, I've watched that movie, and my wife and my daughter were surprised. I didn't hate La La Land. I expected to.
Sure.
It was on a plane or something, and I'm like, oh, this is...
Well, that's because you were trapped.
This is watchable. No, I would have just...
And sleep deprived. No offense. La La Land, you're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were good. Ryan Gosling, if you want to come on the show, please enjoy.
Take off your shirt. I don't know why I just said that.
I think it's like breathing for most women.
Well, yeah. I think it's okay that you did.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you, I'm very passionate about my snubs.
Yeah.
Yes, you know this.
I do.
So first.
Ben Affleck?
This is a movie Ben Affleck was actually in.
Oh, okay.
But I feel like it snubbed. The thing that should have won, that is Shakespeare in Love over Saving Private Ryan, I think is.
I wondered if you'd have that.
Yeah. Because I... here's the thing. Shakespeare in Love, I was enraged when it happened. How dare you?
One of my good friends was.
It didn't make sense.
Yeah. How dare you? Now, I will say that my view on Shakespeare in Love has softened over time. I actually do think it was a pretty good movie, and I thought the actors were really good.
This is one of those things. Historical people, real people, again, seems to win over...
But Spielberg always goes one step too far with the schmaltz.
And that's what you think happened with Saving Private Ryan?
Yes, at the end of it, where he's, it's like, he's standing there, and he's the old guy now, and he's looking at the thing, and the whole family's like, what is this?
Right.
Like, he hadn't been talking about it on the airplane over there, and I've got to find this guy in the,
but I mean,
you know.
Ted Danson killed him.
You've said that before.
I thought he was great in it.
When Ted Danson came on the screen, I was just out of the movie. I was like,
Here's another topic. Edgar Bergen's, Candace Bergen's, shows up in Gandhi.
Oh, yeah, that was
Gandhi
weird.
Is an amazing movie.
Amazing.
Where I was lost in it. I'm sitting there watching,
Kingsley? Amazing.
1940s India. And then, what's Candace Bergen doing in 1940s India? You know, she was Margaret Bourke White, but she wasn't. She was Candace Bergen.
See, that's what happened with Ted Danson.
It is weird.
That's totally what happened with me.
But that first 30 minutes...
Oh,
of Saving Private Ryan
is
the most.
It's like the best war movie of
I'd
all
say
time.
If you you re-edited the last five,
to
make it believable, because there's no way the wife doesn't know
who this man is.
Who this man is in this man's life.
I understand.
There's no way.
I understand.
Go on. that doesn't mean that it shouldn't have won.
Yes. So Spielberg wins for best director.
Yeah.
Hanks does not win for best actor, although that year was a really good one.
Well, and
he was better in that movie, in my opinion, than he was in Forrest Gump.
Yes.
Then, of course, the other thing for me is that they had those group of young guys there that went with him. I was already a huge fan of Edward Burns. I'd seen a bunch of his movies. Barry Pepper was awesome. Great. This is Vin Diesel actually acting. Mm-hmm.
That scene where the one guy is holding up his Star of David and yelling, screaming, Juden at the prisoners of war.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's so much in it.
Yeah.
That's just really good.
Yeah.
Including the sniveling guy. Yeah. There, who like Pop is him. A total coward.
Up him the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Total coward the whole time.
Yeah.
But then you're also kind of like, yeah, I don't know though. I mean, I might be that type of guy where I'm trying to avoid
it's relatable.
Things the whole
Absolutely,
time.
Yeah.
So that was a big one. Still is.
Yeah.
Another huge snub for me is Roberto Benigni over the field, first of all.
Yeah.
But specifically Edward Norton from American History.
Yeah.
One of the.
Yeah,
Edward Norton was incredible in that.
Yes, he was.
I remember watching that in the theater of all things. Somehow I've managed to find my way into a theater that actually was playing American History X because I had loved him in Primal Fear and Rounders. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching this movie and I'm like, I think I'm watching the best thing I've ever seen an actor do. And I was convinced that he was going to win.
Mm-hmm. And he is a very good actor. You're right.
Yeah.
And then I mean, look, Bernini was so happy to get it.
Yeah.
Very cool. But come on, man.
Well, some of that had to do with the subject matter, right?
Yeah, it was true. It was true, and it was never told that way before.
Right.
Sort of a father trying to sort of shield his kid from something that really horrible is going to happen.
Yep.
And so they, so he weaves comedy into it, and it was the perfect actor for it because Benigni is a famous comedic actor.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Edward Norton. Every time you say Edward Norton, American History X, everyone goes, "Oh yeah, that was really good.
Yeah,
that was really good." I already talked about Adrian Brody over Danny Day-Lewis, Gangs of New York.
Yep.
And then you're going to hate this.
Go with it.
Lord of the Rings, Return of the King over Mystic River.
Mystic River was definitely more of an Oscar movie. For sure.
And then to follow that up the next year, they may do a makeup call to Clint Eastwood for Million Dollar Baby, which isn't even close to Mystic River.
Ridiculous.
For our listeners, I'm holding up my list, and the bottom one
says Million Dollar Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close to Mystic River.
I loathe when they do that, when they're like, you know what, we should have given it to you this year, but we didn't, so we're giving it to you this year.
I know.
This year.
Like, I know.
That's just ridiculous. Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Lord of the Rings is one of those things that kind of felt like, well, we're going to give it to you guys because you've done these movies. Mm-hmm. And they're epic, and all these actors, and all this production, and all this, and this.
This is a culmination.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a culmination. Those three movies are definitely impressive.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, the cool thing to me was that The Two Towers was an amazing movie on its own.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, that sophomore movie, that second...
Yeah, it's not as good.
Yeah.
It's actually as
good.
Very
good.
Yeah. That's true. It was just, I had watched Mystic River... And there's an intensity to it.
Yes.
That, like, you don't
Tim
get...
Tim Robbins, man.
Tim Robbins is just about as brilliant as he gets in that movie.
Yeah.
Sean Penn, despite his butchering of whatever accent he was trying to put together, was really good.
Yeah.
But then it was like, you and I have talked about this, it felt like every single individual in Mystic River was on their A game.
Yeah.
All the way down to, like, Lawrence Fishburne is the patient partner of Kevin Bacon. He sees that Bacon's trying to give these guys a break, and he's like, I'll go with it, whatever, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, it's a great murder mystery.
Yeah.
It's a fabulous movie about fathers and daughters and like, well, how far you would go.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's a great South Boston movie, I think. So I was fully prepared for Mystic River to win, but then I knew full well
that
Lord of the Rings was going to win.
Yeah. Right. Culmination.
It was a culmination award. And Peter Jackson won too, didn't he?
I think he did.
And so then the next year they were like, all right, Clint, you were really great last year, so we'll just give it all to you this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it would be nice if they stopped doing that, but at some point you're going to have that overlap where somebody who should have won for something didn't win, and their makeup award, they need that makeup award, right?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, so, but if you stop with the makeup awards, then somebody's getting snubbed twice.
Right. The other thing I will say is, I know that I can't remember which one won Best Picture that year, but whatever was up against The Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, I think that might have been Forrest Gump.
It might have been Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
And I think Shawshank has held up.
Yeah, Shawshank
has. I mean, that's a rewatchable for me. Oh, I will watch it on TNT or whatever.
Sure.
Morgan Freeman and Tim Robbins again.
Yeah, Tim Robbins.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, so final one. Best Oscar moment. Has there ever been a moment when you've been watching the Oscars? I think we're all kind of thinking the same thing from last year. That was pretty awesome.
I'm going to throw a complete curveball.
But how about one of your favorite Oscar moments?
Oh, I just love it when things don't go well or go off. Like when people are like freakishly happy, like Cuba Gooding Jr. just like screaming about his Oscar win. Wow, the music plays, and he's still like, I can't handle it. Right? And he's just going to town, thanking everybody and losing his mind for being so happy.
He won.
He did.
How do we like live in a universe where like Denzel only has one more Oscar than Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yeah. And they both won in like the same category as
Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, they've both won that.
Oh, he was great in Glory.
He was. Yeah. But then, you know, like Roberto Benigni on the Chairs. Yeah. That was crazy.
That was cool.
Of course, La La Land and Moonlight.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That's funny. And then, anytime that there's something that happens where it's just like, no.
Yeah.
So the year that Stewart was the host, he brought the best song people.
3-6 Mafia?
No, that was a different year. But the song that won was Once. Mm-hmm. And it was in, I think it was in Bruges was the movie?
It was the movie Once.
Oh, it was the movie Once, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so there were two writers.
Yeah.
And
they were the stars of the movie, too.
And the guy spoke, and then the music started playing as the woman went to speak, and her mic went silent. So John Stewart was like, okay, everything happened, commercial, right? So John Stewart's like, hold on, we're going to stop the show, and he brought her back speak. Yeah.
That's cool.
I love it. Yeah.
So, one of the best Oscar moments for you.
So, here's the curveball. They nominated Blaine Canada from South Park movie, and they needed to find somebody to sing it.
Sure.
And Robin Williams said, I'll do it.
Seriously, and I don't remember that at all.
He owned it. It was awesome. Right. Yeah.
Nice.
He was on stage.
Yes, he came out and he sang the song, and he did a great job of it. And it was just very funny. Mm-hmm. It's so I'm not going with heartwarming or any of that kind of stuff.
No,
it was just funny.
Yeah.
And let you know that this is a very serious thing for people, but it's also it's supposed to be entertaining.
Yeah,
it is supposed to be entertaining.
I'm really topical. So I really thought last year's ending was a fabulous.
I felt bad for the actress that was there with Warren Beatty.
Yeah, was it Glenn Close?
No.
It wasn't Faye Dunaway, was
Faye,
it?
Faye
Dunaway. It was, okay. Because she had nothing to do with it.
She knew it was wrong.
Yeah.
And it kind of just rolled across the stage, and she's like, okay, you know. Because
I wasn't watching the telecast at that point.
Yeah.
I was doing something on my computer, but I was refreshing
all
the winners, right? Mm-hmm. And then slowly but surely you could see their acceptance speech.
Yeah.
Right? So it shows La La Land, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, whatever. I kind of knew it was going to happen anyway. And then all of a sudden, I looked back over, and it switched over to Moonlight. And I'm like, what?
Yep.
And then the acceptance speech came, and I was like, oh, my gosh, they screwed this whole thing up.
All the reactions of the people in the crowd.
Amazing.
Just stunned.
Right,
mouths hanging open.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That was just amazing. And then also last year, because I have a man crush, when Kimmel was playing Matt Damon off the stage.
This year's screenplays proved him right through their creative storytelling and inspirational themes.
The nominees include a story of two brothers. Oh my God, you gotta be kidding me. Wait, hold on. Wait, come on, what is with the music? Am I being played off?
Seriously? He was down in the orchestra pit. So Affleck would get to, because Affleck and Damon went up to present the award for best original screenplay.
Yeah.
Affleck got to do his whole speech.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. And then Damon was starting to talk, and then all of a sudden the orchestra came.
That faux feud is hilarious.
It's fantastic. And then Damon's like, all right, what is going on? And he looked down, and it's Kimmel in the orchestra pit playing him off the stage. Brilliant. But that is also just because I have a bad crush. Okay, so I think we covered all awards. Does anybody else want to say anything that they thought was cool?
I just want to thank you for letting me be a part of this. This is the most fun I've had at work in about, I don't know, 30 years.
That's awesome. That's great. David, we would gladly have you back on the show.
All right, thank you.
If you want to talk about, like, basketball at some point.
Well, we could always do football stuff.
I'm a big fan of Michael Jordan.
There you go.
So.
Well, we'll integrate him into the podcast. I try to put Jordan in the podcast at all times.
Yeah.
We have an ongoing one-way rivalry. I'm saying things, and he's not listening to anything I say.
Yeah.
He's a busy man.
Yes. He's a little bit busy.
He's like, this has been how it's been all my life,
yes.
Kid.
Yeah. Any other cool things you can remember about the Oscars that you want to share before we jet?
Not really.
Yeah, I think we covered it all. Did a pretty good job. As a reminder to folks, we do have some upcoming events. So on March 2nd, we'll be doing the Thurston County Recognition event at the Little Creek Casino in Shelton. On March 15th, we'll be doing the King County Recognition event up at the Shoreline School District building. I always get that wrong.
Yeah.
It's something.
It's got a title. Yeah. I always want to call it Community Center, but there's probably a Shoreline Community Center.
Everybody who's getting it knows.
Yeah.
And then
they're getting directions.
Yeah. One thing we're going to add, just we'll start talking about it a little bit now in the podcast, is actually the Leadership Breakfast on May 17th. So for those who know and love that Leadership Breakfast, have been there before, it'll be another one of those very special ones. So other than that, I think we're pretty good. I want to thank our very special guest, Mr. David Elliott, for joining us today. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
And we'll have regularly scheduled podcasts as we go. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Bye.